It's Sunday morning, December 27th.
Lord, we ask for your presence, your Holy Spirit to be among us today, O Lord, that again your truth would flow, O Lord, that it wouldn't be our thoughts that come out of our own head, O Lord, that we would be able to draw on your mind. And Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be upon our ears also to be able to discern truth that comes from you.
Yes.
Do that good work. Do it this morning, and then more generally, that we would have those ears. Ears that recognize you, and ears that recognize that which is not you, Lord. Oh, by your Spirit, that you would do that sweet, sweet work amongst us, O Lord. We thank you for your ways. We thank you for your faithfulness in that, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
There's an off chance we can help you out, Keith, for whatever it is you're looking for.
Go for it.
Well, I was sharing before before everyone got here today how it's a good lesson. I was having a conversation with a member of my family. And they made a comment about how they were really glad that they had the Lord in their life and that they were going to heaven. And I was talking to Susan and I was saying how I was kind of surprised that they said that. And Susan goes, "Well, why would you say that?" And I said, "Well, you know, because I didn't see any of the outward signs like they had a really close relationship or that they... You know, they just didn't seem to be doing a lot of praying. You know, they don't carry a Bible around. They don't quote scripture." And Susan looked at me and go like, "Well, what difference does any of that make?" You know, and I had to kind of realize I'd kind of fallen into a trap where I was inadvertently judging, not knowing. And it was kind of refreshing in a way that she said, "Well, hey, you know, who are you?" And I go, "Hey, I didn't mean to say I was judging. I was surprised she felt that way." And someone made the comment that, well, how many people do you know that if you ask them, they're sure they're going to heaven? They've got confidence of that, and, you know. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, you know. You know, so where do you draw that line between what you know, what you're responsible for, and how you know the Word, and, you know, versus just a blind faith? And it's, you know, as I'm thinking about it, it was a really good lesson. You know, I wasn't trying to be in the wrong in any way, but in a way I was, and it was kind of like, "Hey, what do you mean? Why would you even doubt that they feel this way and shouldn't feel that way?" And, you know, I started giving a lot of natural reasons. Not good.
No. Well, I think you could be surprised, not necessarily doubting the truth of it, but I think surprise is legitimate if you had no reason for thinking that something like that was going on in their head, you know, and, oh, my. surely surprised and pleased, but still surprised.
And yet, yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, Susan's right that an outward show should really not be what we're looking for in assessing someone's relationship with the Lord. She's absolutely
mm-hmm.
right about that. You know. And yet.
Well, what I took away from that was I was judging, and I really shouldn't have been. And it's kind of like, because I was looking for all the wrong things. You know, I certainly don't know the heart for sure. I mean, I know a little bit about them. And then I went on to say that, you know, if I heard anybody in our body say that, I'd go, well, yes, amen. Because I know you're doing this, and you're doing this, and you're doing this. But then again, I'm looking at all, you know.
It just
caught me off guard that I thought that way and then realized that I didn't want to be thinking that way.
Mm-hmm.
And just sort of, it was a good reminder to me.
Yeah. And frankly, it was a good confession on whoever said it on their part. Yeah. That's a good confession. You are sticking your neck out a little bit when you make a statement like that. Yeah. It's not a popular thing to be saying. And this day and age, depending on the circle you're in, of course, but...
Do they know where you're at?
Yeah, oh, I, yes.
Oh, okay.
This is the same couple that asked me to officiate their wedding, and you know, we're the, in my family, we're the, you know, right on the edge of being the religious crazies, you know. the Bible thumpers, you know, and, oh, yeah. You know, you pray for people and you get better, you know, that's, you know, there's no science in that, you know, so yeah, but it was kind of, the comment was made in context of how they were coping with Corona, and it's been, they haven't been able to attend services as much, they're from over in the cities, And you know, and so, but they were had admitted that they had fallen down on watching the videotape of the services and stuff like that, and it's just been harder. But you know, so glad that I've got this relationship with the Lord. I'm going to heaven, and I'm not looking at this. I'm looking at the eternal, and it was good. Yeah. It was.
Well, they could have been groaning in that in the last 10 centuries.
Yeah.
See them, you know.
Yeah. There's more to put a less positive spin on that, but we'll keep them off the table. But it caught me up short, though, and I actually appreciate that. I don't want to fall into a bad habit or get lulled. And I chucked it up to being tired.
There you go.
I was just tired this morning. I just woke up. I was tired.
Mm-hmm.
But I was wrong.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. Jesus tells us that we should be like a city on the hill. You don't want to put your light under a bushel. And yet you're also supposed to go in your closet to pray. And when you do your alms, don't do it so that everybody will see it. And sometimes the line between those two things are, where's that line a little bit, you know?
Kind
of now, I suppose it depends on your heart.
Yeah.
If you, what you want to do is make sure you're impressing everybody, you're on the wrong side of the line. If you are seeking to glorify God by your personal behavior, then you're probably on the right side of the line, but still, it's a little, there could be a little tension between those two things.
It's easy to be right and wrong in both cases.
And it could be identical behavior depending on your motivation, I suppose.
Yeah. That's where we need to be. Seeking him.
Yeah.
we've learned a lot of things from the intake of the scriptures, and at the same time, there are exceptions that God has. You know, the thief on the cross certainly didn't fit any of our expectations. And if I would have seen him hanging there on the cross, I said, you know, any one of them, not a chance. And in a second of time, whatever happened, happened to him. And he believed.
Mm-hmm.
And years ago, Gordy Steinhauer and I, he used to come to our services we had at our house. And there was a woman that had a couple of little kids. And we really prayed for her. She was dying of cancer. And we just somehow that she'd get saved, you know, before she passed away. And I don't know that that ever happened as we expected. But when she died, and she did, she died, you know. And she was looking up into heaven, and her eyes were just bright and shiny. And she said, "It's okay, I can go. I can see Jesus coming for me." Well, you know what? That's a hard statement to argue with.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard other ones like that. So did she really see that? Yeah. And because it says that God judges the heart. And there's a lot of people that don't meet our expectations, but they meet his. And we got to remember that. And it's important.
Yeah.
And are there expectations? Are there things that we need to do? Yes. And by listening to the scriptures, we get a better understanding on a constant basis. At the same time, Susan had a good point. And the thing is, we dare not, no matter what we think we know, we dare not judge based on that.
Mm-hmm.
She could have been accepting him in her mind while you were praying, you know, without ever saying anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Could have been opening the door that,
yeah.
You know.
I mean, you know, always think that has to be confessed to us, but
uh-huh.
We don't. You know.
Yeah. And why wouldn't she? You know, the Lord is truth and beauty. Say, nah, I don't want truth and beauty. You know, right? No, you wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could have lived a life that threw up a bunch of obstacles to your receiving truth and beauty, but...
Yeah. In the eighth verse of the first chapter of Hebrews, it's talking about God speaking to his son, and he says, unto the son he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. How is it that God calls him God? And how does it say in the other translation?
Same thing.
Chapter 1, verse 8. Do you have any other translation besides the King James?
Looking. Now he is quoting a portion of the Old Testament. You know, there's a note here.
Yeah.
Psalm 45. Isaiah 61. But still, it does leave a question.
Well, it leaves a question, but in verse 9, it says, therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So, is the God standing of, it's of lesser degree. But the fact that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, did that make him into a God type being?
That would be pretty strange.
That would be what?
Pretty strange, I think, to say, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee, anointed a God? Nah. That's a person that gets, that happens.
What I'm saying is, did that put him in a kind of a different dimension than everybody else? You know, Thomas said, after he saw him, after, you know, he said, put your hands in my sides and whatever, and he said, my Lord and my God. And a lot of people use things like that to make him into a God essence. But I'm saying, does this really make him a God essence? He loved righteousness and hated iniquity. And if we, through the scriptures, develop the divine nature of God, and he was the scripture, did I put him in a position to be the divine nature of God? And it says in the last chapter of Matthew, it says that God has given him power and authority over heaven and in earth. Is that the same as his own power and authority?
No.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
I think the difference between Jesus and me in this case is that God has anointed him with the oil of gladness, and he has not done that with me. But we're both men.
I think it's going to hear a little more, because if he's saying yes, it's not quite his power to give. So, but I will say that that translation is translated many times, and it's it is, as I read it, you know. Let's see, so it's like but of the Son, he says, which I'm assuming that's God speaking. He's, but of the Son, he says, your throne, O God. So I could see where people take that and say, God said to the Son, God. You know, it's like, sounds a little bit like God is calling the Son of God. So, and then depending on like the King James, clearly says that, and we know the King James has a bend. You know, King James says, what's the new King James?
Says the same thing.
Yeah.
And, see, in Matthew 28:18, it says, all power is given unto man in heaven and in earth. Is that all power?
Kind of sounds it.
Does that mean all authority in heaven and in earth with the angels and with the devils and the, you know? And so while we we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but it's God's principalities and powers. Jesus is the one that has authority over those things. Because God has given it to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it doesn't make him equal to God. But it does make him equal to the power of God, because God has given it to him. Do you follow me?
And doesn't it imply in the scriptures that if we have the faith, we have the same thing in his name?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. I think a man who is filled with God is a really remarkable, astonishing thing. But he's still a man.
Yeah.
You know.
Maybe the question is, if you are filled with God, is that the same as having authority?
Well, that's given, yeah.
I mean, you can be filled with God, but that doesn't necessarily, it doesn't, I mean, there's a discussion there. That doesn't imply that if you're filled with God, you have, I give you authority.
Mm.
I don't know if those are exactly the same sense. Statements.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah,
that's kind of getting in the weeds.
Well, that's a legitimate question, though, I guess. If maybe there is some transformative deal. This is thinking outside of our box. But maybe there is some kind of transformative deal that if you are truly filled with the power and authority of God, I don't know, that kind of make you God. A lot of it's just plain definition.
Yeah.
But you're not co-equal, co-eternal, you're not all that stuff. I don't think.
No, that is not until people come up with a Trinity.
Yeah.
When you go by the scriptures, you're not co-equal and co-eternal.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come up with a Trinity, that makes you something that you're not.
It is weird this that from about verse 2 all the way through 13 is just odd.
You're talking about chapter 1 of Hebrews?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you read up above before he says, "You are my son, today I've begotten you," you know, it's everything he is has been given to him.
Mm-hmm.
He is appointed heir of all things, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, talking Jesus is that of God, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, you know. But when you read, so after 8 and 9, where it says those things, and then 10, it has and, you know, and a colon. You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they will all grow like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fail. So, it's just kind of sticking things in there, it seems like.
And then the thing that we got to realize is that even though some people don't believe it, the Catholic Church has added to it, taken away from the scriptures. And so what do you need? You need the whole counsel. You need the whole scripture. You need the whole picture. So when you come, when you finish, you get the accurate picture. There are certain things in the scriptures, obviously, that were added. And some of the translations have added things that it makes Jesus a God from the beginning. But we don't have any, we don't really have any scriptures that, that tell us that. That's it. Order to have the assumption of Mary. Well, this is the assumption of a lot of things.
You know, the very first verse, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke at time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir. So, I'm just wondering how that fits in with 8 and 9. I can try to say I think I see something, but I don't mean nothing.
Yeah. You know? I guess, you know, these things are kind of designated as a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sorry, but I don't feel real mystified by the idea of a man who is filled with God. Now, maybe that's me being simple in a not the right kind of way. But I'm okay with that. I am not scratching my head. I just, you know, filled without measure. He is a man, now the Son of God, you know, as was Adam. But still, he's a man filled with the fullness of God. I mean, there's just no limit to that, and I don't think you are extending beyond what can be extended, having that person also be human, but just filled with God. You're still a man. I don't know that being filled with the fullness of God. Certainly, in a certain respect, maybe you're like God. You're God, but no, oh no, you're a man filled with God. I feel comfortable with that. Now, maybe I shouldn't, but I do.
Well, certainly, you know, what we got to realize is, except for the intake of the scriptures over and over and over, we wouldn't think like you think.
Mm-hmm.
I think like you think. I wouldn't have thought of it like if I hadn't been listening to the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are not listening to the scriptures because they think some real goofy things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I agree with you. But you know what? A lot of that is because I have been listening over and over and over to the scriptures. And faith comes by hearing, that by the word of God. So after a while, you start thinking like that. You start thinking like that because the word of God tells you that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a problem with it either. But you know what? There was a day that I did.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to come to some more real strong revelations and understanding as time goes by.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you, Charlie. I mean, I just, to say that the fullness of God can't dwell within man is putting a limitation on God, which I won't do.
Absolutely.
And and so you have to, you know, you accept that, as often in the scriptures, sometimes labels get to be confusing. Because as Ken pointed out, you look at like the 10 scriptures, you got God, oh my God, you're talking to Son, and he calls him God, and then he says Lord. He says, all of this you created, which obviously is referring back to God, but he used Lord there. So it's it's hard to know without the Holy Spirit intervening exactly what's being said there. But I certainly can understand someone taking the broad brush approach, read that scripture and go, well, that's, if you ever wanted, wanted a proof that Jesus is God, all you have to do is read,
sure, right there,
read
yeah.
Hebrews. He was 1:8. You know,
says it right there.
Says
yeah,
it plainly.
Right.
Says it plainly in multiple translations.
Mm-hmm. Some of those things that just trip people up.
Yeah, right.
Well, I, you know, as we've said at other points, occasionally I think we find the reason why it says the scriptures are designed to trip up the wise and the foolish.
Yeah, sure.
And to get us to stop counting on our own wisdom and count on God's anointing.
I went back and looked at that Psalms 45, and if that's not one of David's, that's what it says to the chief musician, da da da. And it starts out, it looks like who's ever writing that psalm is speaking of the king, which could have been David at the time, you know, and gives all these adjectives, and then all of a sudden it says, you're a throne of God, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, in the way they translate, over to the right, it has the little stars that say that's Jesus, you know, or pointing to the whatever.
Yeah.
But it's funny how even in that setting, it just doesn't, it's like it just sticks out. It's like it almost doesn't make sense there either, except that it must be some kind of a prophetic or a something. You know, that it's saying it, that they says it that way. Because I was thinking, well, it could be saying it back there, and how do we know they just didn't stick it in here, in Hebrews, you know, to make a point of the Trinity or something. But why would it be saying it back there?
Yeah, no, I feel fine with it being here in Hebrews.
Yeah. It's just something that...
Yeah.
It says in Matthew 28:16, then the 11 disciples went into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted.
He's full of God, then. That's not out of line.
Well, wouldn't you, if he's the Word of God manifested, or if he's the expressed image of the invisible God, wouldn't you worship him?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make him God, but about as close as he can get.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I don't know if this is a good example, but they worship idols, you know, so... You can worship a lot of different things. Doesn't mean they're all correct.
But he didn't tell them not to, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, and it says, I think, well, it's in Hebrews 2, isn't it, that it says,
and when he was born as a baby,
the angels worshipped him.
God has angels worshipped him.
Yeah. You know, when people say, he had to be God, he couldn't have been just a man, I think what they're doing is making their own assessment of what man is based on what they know they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about something that's just way different from what they are. I know man. I know myself, and I know I got nothing in me that is anything, you know, that's just a different deal. But I think they make the mistake of calling that fallen man. What they know is fallen man. And Jesus was not a fallen man.
He was the only exception.
Right.
Yeah, and then... Jesus himself later on says in chapter 2:12, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will sing praise to you. You know? And, it, you know, and then it's, yeah, let's see. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, then I will declare your name. I will put my trust in him. Here am I and the children whom God has given me.
That is a man.
Yeah. But who's given all kinds of power, though.
All right. But it's a man. That's a man.
Yeah.
They're talking about there. That's a man. Okay. Now, I suppose the Trinitarians would say, yeah, he was a man, but he was also God. Well, no. Don't. You can't do that.
So then the part that died wasn't God.
It gets
into all kinds of weird things because you got to deal with the fact that he died. And he didn't resurrect himself.
Yeah, the Father did that.
Yeah.
Well, it says again, it says all power is given to me.
Huh?
In heaven and in earth. All power.
Is given.
There's not any power that's not given to him.
Well, he's some kind of man. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
If God gave him all power.
And maybe, Ken, you touched on this, and I didn't catch it right away, but, you know, you look in, you look back at Psalms, the parallel of Scripture, Psalm 45, 6, and you compare that to Hebrews. What makes Hebrews difficult is Hebrews, the very first part of that says, God's calling out God. And that's not in Psalms. He's speaking to the king, and you could either assume the king, King David, or the king could be saying it's God, and he's, you know, if you look at this and saying he's speaking to God, and it says thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. You know, the scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. You look at it and hear that and you go, well, I have no problem with that. That makes perfect sense. And you go back to Hebrews and you look at you ignore the first line of Hebrews and ignore such a bad word to use in Scripture. I agree, but you look what gets Hebrews 1:8 confusing is the first, you know, but unto the Son he said. And you look past that and you go, thy throne, O God. So what makes Hebrews 1:8 confusing is it's being said to Jesus, O God. Whereas in Psalms, it's not clear that it's being said to Jesus. It's more clear it's either being said to the king or the king,
unless it's prophetic, you know, because God, I mean, it's like God does that. I mean, in the Old Testament, he puts things in there that don't make sense for that time that it's being spoken because it's for another time.
Sure.
Or it can have a double, too.
Or a double, yeah. And then it's like, because when you read that description of Satan or Lucifer, you know, and it starts out being the king of Cyprus.
Persia.
One of them. Isn't it?
I thought Persia.
Or Persia? Yeah, probably Persia. So, and then all of a sudden you can tell it can't be talking about him because he wasn't in, you know,
in heaven.
Right hand of the Father.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, I don't know.
When Jesus... Someone is speaking to Jesus, and the word God is thrown in there in a way that could be referred to being directed at him, but it also could mean, hey, God is relevant to this conversation. You know? I can handle that. I am not, I am so stumped by that. How could I don't feel that way. You know, when Thomas says, my Lord, my God, God is relevant to this deal. For him to be saying God is not surprising or inappropriate or whatever, but it doesn't necessarily, well, first of all, Thomas could be mistaken, natural enough mistake. Second of all, talking about God has a bearing on this whole deal, and is not necessarily putting a label on Jesus, I don't think.
Well, I know even though that setting is there in Hebrews, doesn't deter from my knowing that he's a man.
Yeah.
Just, of course he's a man.
There's just way too much other scripture that backs up his humanity. So.
Well, I'm saying that if God made one of us God, that's up to him.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And I don't think it's me, but I mean, if it was somebody, and if he made him God, or if he called him God, and he anointed him with whatever it is above his fellows, we still don't have a God like himself.
And you know, as Jesus said, it says in the Psalms, and the scripture cannot be broken,
yeah.
Ye are gods. Well, if you call them gods, do you have all that much trouble with the Son of God? Well, hey, maybe in the sense, I mean, he did say, as the scripture cannot be broken, ye are gods.
Whom the word of God comes, isn't that what it is?
Maybe. Yeah, the word of God, yeah, right, cannot be broken. Yeah.
And Paul says somewhere too, he says, we know there are many lords and gods and da-da-da, but, you know, there's a distinction. False gods, of course, or whatever. But.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, in 1 John it says there are many false prophets. It doesn't say that all of them are false.
Uh-huh, right.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Well, I know he's good.
I was just sitting here saying, okay, and so how's this helping our eternal salvation? You know, I was like, he came up with that. It is good.
Yeah.
It is good. But I think it's good to try and know him better. I'm kind of dwelling on Keith's comment, like, if God makes you God, is that... Are you a God or are you a man turned into God? And you go, well, I don't know. If God says you're now a God, you go, okay, we'll accept that on face value because he can do anything. But you go, well, but you're not the God because you were converted. And he's spirit and you weren't. So you just kind of have to, you start taking things on faith. You're going, look, God can do whatever he wants to do. And he can, you know, but it doesn't, even if God says you are now a God, it doesn't turn you into the God who is spirit.
There's a scripture that really puts everything else in perspective. It says in John 17, verse 3, it says, this is eternal life, that they would know you, the only true God. That kind of does everything else, puts everything else in perspective.
Uh-huh.
There's one true God. And then it says, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So no matter what we call him, there's a separation between the two. One is the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, whatever that means. I heard a lot of different ideas about the Buddha, about the Father, what that means, but I don't know that we know.
Sounds good to me, too, though. Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah, what does it mean?
To be stuck right in there.
To be in the bosom of the Father. It means right in that innermost something. And God had him in mind before he ever created. And he created us in the likeness of the Son.
Actually, he created it in the likeness of himself.
To the Son.
Well, no, I mean, there's a place where it says he made us in his own likeness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, language, just plain, has serious limitations in conveying the truth of God. Now, God set it up that way, but it is always going to be incomplete and subject to some change and whatever. We won't know until we see face to face. Now, we can know enough to know what we need to know, in a sense, but it will not be complete. It's not going to be complete. And I think we should be okay with that.
Yeah, we're wrestling a lot with how to try and make natural senses work with spirit.
Yeah. Not that we shouldn't, you know, not that we shouldn't, but just to realize this is just going to be a job that does not get done. It's not a job that's going to get done, absent some remarkable revelation by the Holy Spirit that does something really special with words, you know.
I would be a little careful about saying something can't ever be done.
Well, now we see through a glass darkly. You know,
but you don't know when you might see clearly, and it may be before your eternal.
The then you think might just be down the road, huh? Then face to face, you know. Then
in my little brain, he said face to face, and I go, oh, how are we even going to do that? It's going to be our face to his spirit. That,
you're right, though, Ken. I mean,
well, because I was thinking, you're saying, you know, we're in our mind. Yeah, that's the trouble. We are thinking in our mind. And yes, I don't see half of us there.
In the current order of things, it's not going to happen.
No.
Now, for me to announce that there'll never be a different order is something I'm not prepared to do. But.
And it is true, you never know when he's going to have the Holy Spirit revealed.
Exactly right. And I think you left that caveat, short of the Holy Spirit doing something. So, it was good.
But I will say at the same time, for him to accomplish what he wants on this earth, we may not have all of his knowledge.
That's right.
We may not need to know every single
I think that's fair. I don't see that whole thing getting wrapped up in a bow on this side. You know, because there's too much. How are you standing in faith, and how are you going to stand? How are you going to stand when things get tough? You know, and the persecutions that could follow.
I'm okay with the idea of having some things I learn once I get to heaven, but not before. Get up there and say, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That makes sense.
I'm good. That cleared up a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
And perhaps that reaction will not be with words, you know. It will be understanding.
Well, like the one song, I imagine. Will I dance for joy or will I just stand there in awe?
Yeah.
And you go, ah. And you're just awestruck with the revelation, or you just go the other way and just dance for joy.
Yeah.
Maybe you do both. Maybe you're in awe and
I can throw a little wrench into things.
Oh, wow.
Well, to dance at all, that would be fun with me.
Yes, your body will not be the same body, right?
A little reworking of the joints, thank you.
Something.
Yeah.
But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you some things. All things. And bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Which, you know.
Yeah, you make a good point. I guess I thought, maybe shallowly, all things is all things necessary to.
Well, that's kind of how we kind of settled on that one other time. Like,
yeah.
All things that you need to for
eternal
life.
Do it,
yeah. But all things could be all things, too. So.
Yeah.
And the Helper is the Spirit of Truth.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he's going to give you all truth, but
not here.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, now it's true. Now I go to the next time it mentions it. However, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he's going to speak on.
Yeah.
He will take of what is mine and declare it to you.
You know, this understanding doesn't necessarily mean something that can be expressed perfectly with words, though.
No, that's true.
Well,
I think, you know.
Huh?
He said this understanding can't always be expressed in words.
Or perfectly, you know.
The understanding of what?
Whatever we're understanding, all these all things that we are to understand.
All truth?
All truth.
All truth.
In a way, the apostles kind of, you know, when after the resurrection and they're cooking some fish there, and Jesus asked them about it, he approached them on the road, and then they make the comment, "Wasn't our hearts burning?"
Oh yeah, road to Emmaus.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, they're making a comment about how they feel, not what they, you know. So to your point, like, you know, all things might not be explained well in words, because it's hard to explain emotions and feelings in words, as we all know.
Yeah. These things I have spoke to you in figurative language. But the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. Now, I would accept that.
Kind of sounds like words do the job, huh?
Well, I don't know.
Maybe.
Plainly like to know God.
Yeah.
Well, and isn't there another setting, too? Where
which I think we are doing, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's done in us, not we are doing, he's done in us.
Yeah.
There's another study where, sorry, Charlie.
I'll go ahead and say what I would say. I think if a natural-minded person were to hear what we are saying right now, that person wouldn't pick up, but they wouldn't get what we ourselves get. I mean, I know exactly what Ken or what Corky is meaning, you know, because, you know, my own mind involved, you know, I go through a parallel process with whatever is being said, what Keith is saying, you know, all. But that is words kind of reminding me of what I already know that perhaps can't be expressed in words. Unless the Holy Spirit does a remarkable thing in this person that walks in off the street, they wouldn't know what we're talking about. Words are inadequate, you know. It requires some prior stuff, and it requires some work being done by the Holy Spirit in ourselves. It requires our spirit to be activated by the Holy Spirit. Requires all that stuff.
You know what? There's a key word. I just was reading the one from John. In that, what Keith quoted earlier in 17:3, this is eternal life. It doesn't say, and this is eternal life that you may know the only true God. It says that they may know you, the only true God.
Mm-hmm.
Not like there's no plural there, you know, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. So, I wasn't picking up something like that all the time when it gets quoted. I just kept thinking that they may know you, the one, I didn't hear the you necessarily, you know, that they may know you. That's making it about as plain as you can get in any language, you know, of words.
The only true God.
I am going to my God, your God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to your God and to my God.
Yeah, it gets pretty plain after a while. Even though we have a few scriptures that are, they might throw a little monkey wrench in, but you know what? They're not big issues anymore. They're not real issues. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of the living God. He is the expressed image of the invisible God. You know, I mean, he's a visible, expressed image of the invisible God.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and he says, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
I came forth from the Father. I wasn't the Father.
Yeah.
You know, I came forth from the Father.
Well, so did we.
Yeah, I mean...
I like the one that the other scripture quoted. I'm going to my God and your God.
Yeah. Right. How do you argue on that one?
Yeah, it's like, okay. Yeah. And then tie that with any scripture that says there is only one God. Yeah.
And I think we can say with, I think, fairly confidently, why would that be being impressed on us for 10, 15 years if he didn't want us to know that? You know?
Seems like it's important to him.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't think that the enemy could keep a deception going like that. You know what I mean? Wouldn't fit.
Yeah, there remains light in the discussion.
Yes.
No, we're not going through
original world. No, this is not. Yeah.
No reaction like that at all.
And you gain perspective every time you talk about it.
Yeah, it's not dry. You know,
it really isn't. Yeah. Anything you talk about for 15 years ought to be dry.
Yeah.
In the natural, that's true.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but it then applies to, like he said, that I have the living water.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yeah. And I believe there is significance in that continuing in his word. continuing like a river continues.
Yep.
Just a flow, just keeps on, keeps flowing. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm.
If you continue.
Yeah.
If you continue. If you continue.
If you stay on the river.
Yeah, if you continue. You know what? That's not easy to do. After a few years, it's not as easy as it was just to stay and continue it in the Word, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we have each other to thank for that.
Except that the Word, what has happened, the Word has become a life source to us.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Peter said, Lord, where can we go? You have the Word of eternal life. Well, you know, they don't have to be. We can let the devil talk us out of it.
Yep.
Or we can continue on. I tell you, one of the most blessed experiences that's happened to me has been related, you know, get together with the kids, with my sons and daughters, and from different places, and they ask me questions about the past, and some of it has to be with when we were little, when I was little. And for some reason, I can remember a lot of things when I was tiny. And I'll tell you one of them that has kind of hit the fancy. When Clayton was a baby, instead of crawling, he rolled. And he would roll underneath the bed, but he could only roll one way. Hmm. You know, he went from his left side, or one way or the other, I don't remember. He'd roll underneath the bed, and then he'd start screaming that he couldn't get out, that he could only roll one way. And it was up to me to crawl underneath the bed and turn him around. And I can remember that. I was probably 3 or 4, you know, but I can remember turning him around so he could roll back out. But anyway, I remember those things. And also I remember that how upset Clayton and I were as little guys, because when Beverly or when Wadita got big enough to get around, you know, my mother made us take her with us. Mm-hmm. And if there's anything you don't want when you're 5 or 6 years old, it's to drag your baby sister around.
There.
Yeah.
And I can remember that. It used to upset us.
We love you all.